بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and a very warm welcome to this week's edition of Living the Legacy. This is a weekly program where we look at ways and means, avenues on how we can live a legacy and leave that legacy behind one day. It's our intention here on the program to bring you weekly programs where you are inspired to live a fruitful and fulfilling legacy and to leave that legacy behind one day until the end of times. May Allah make us the people who live fruitful and spiritually joyful lives. Ameen. Today on the program, we continue with our legacy journey and we're seeking to understand the topic of compassion. What does compassion mean and how can we live with compassion in our lives? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding, and we'll be addressing that later on with our esteemed guest on the program, inshallah. Our guest on the program later today is Imam Salim, the Imam of Masjid Abu Bakr Siddiq, Erasmia. And Imam will be sharing with us on the topic of understanding compassion. So please do stay with us for that coming up in the next segment of this program, inshallah. As always, we begin the program with a bit of inspiration and upliftment. And today, it's a beautiful narrative of Ibn Jawzi, and it's called Fireproof. Ibn Jawzi, rahimahullah, narrates that a pious person once mentioned, "I once entered Egypt where I found a blacksmith who would extract iron from his furnace using nothing but his bare hands. He would then place the iron on his anvil and turn it with his hands without apparently experiencing any pain whatsoever. On witnessing this extraordinary spectacle, I thought to myself, this must most certainly be a very pious man, if the fire does not harm him. With this in mind, I drew close to him and greeted him with salam, to which he replied. I thereafter addressed him in the following words, O my master, I beseech you in the name of that being who favored you with this miracle to please make dua for me. On hearing my request, the blacksmith began to cry and exclaimed, My brother, by Allah, I am not the pious person that you think me to be. To this exclamation, I replied, O my brother, this miracle which I witnessed from you is something which only the pious people are able to carry out. The blacksmith answered, There is a strange incident behind the miracle you speak of. At my request, the blacksmith thereafter recounted the following incident. I was once sitting in this business of mine in a state of intense preoccupation, when I suddenly realized that there was a woman before me. On glancing at her, I beheld a face which possessed beauty, the like of which I had never seen before. The woman addressed me and pleaded, saying, O my brother, do you have anything to give us for the sake of Allah? I was by this point captivated by her sight and infatuated by her beauty. I therefore replied, Why don't you accompany me to my home where I will give you something that will see to your needs? On hearing my suggestion, she looked at me in silence for some time and eventually turned and departed from my business. After some time had passed, however, she returned and submitted. Dire necessity has forced me to accept your offer. I therefore locked my business and proceeded home with her. When we reached my residence, she begged me, saying, I have children whom I have left in extreme starvation. Please give me something that I can take to them. I will return to you thereafter. After making her promise and vow that she would return, I gave her some dirhams and watched as she left to see to her children. When she returned, I ushered her into my home and turned to lock the door. "Why are you locking the door?" she asked. "I fear the people," I replied. "And why do you not fear the Lord of all the people?" she inquired. "He is forgiving and merciful." I then advanced towards her and found that tears were streaming down her cheeks in torrents and she was trembling. "Why are you trembling and crying?" I asked. "Out of the fear of Allah," she answered. The woman then turned to me and pleaded, saying, "If you leave me for the sake of Allah, I will stand guarantee that Allah will neither punish you with fire in this world nor in the next." When I heard her say this, I was shaken and instantly stood and gave her all that I owned, saying, "I have left you out of the fear of Allah." A while after she had left, I fell asleep and had a dream in which I saw a woman wearing a crown of red rubies who had the most beautiful face I had ever seen. She said to me, "May Allah reward you well on our behalf." "Who are you?" I asked. "I am the mother of the girl whom you left out of the fear of Allah. May Allah never punish you with fire, neither in this world nor the next." I next said to her, "Please tell me who she is and which family she is from." To this, the woman replied, "She is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." It was then that I remembered the verse of the Quran in which Allah mentions, "Allah only intends to keep filth away from you, O members of the family, and to make you pure through a perfect purification." When I awoke from my sleep, I found that the fire of this world could not harm me. I have hope that the fire of the hereafter will not harm me as well. So what are the lessons we take from this story? They are a number and of lessons, and I will work through them, share them with you now. Number one, the way to extinguish the fire of Jahannam is for us to extinguish the fire of our nafs and our desires. Number two, if we introduce a person to an evil habit or sin, we will have a share of the burden to bear every time that person commits it. On the other hand, if we are instrumental in assisting someone to abstain from sin or change their lives for the better, we will continue to receive reward so long as that person is benefiting from our advice and encouragement. Number three, we do not know which action or which person's dua will be the means of drawing the special mercy of Allah. As such, we should never consider any good action to be insignificant or to risk losing the dua of any person. The fourth lesson is that a person who wishes to commit a sin should fear the punishment of Allah, as His forgiveness is for those who sincerely repent and those who wish to change their lives. The fifth lesson we learn from this is that a believer should daily reflect on the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us at all times. And lastly, that the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be shown the absolute greatest level of respect and honor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who realize this and make us of those people who recognize the value of living with taqwa and the value of living by this taqwa. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now, Talking about how Shaitan tries to tempt us, let us remember that, you know, these are all tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is for us to pass these tests and to pass them well, so that when we're able to pass these tests, we can through this gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But often we focus so much on the test only, but not realizing that if we can go beyond that test, then inshallah we can gain nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us this understanding, and may Allah keep us guided on the right path. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. One of the most beautiful du'as that we have been taught to recite when we are distressed or troubled by something is to read Rabbi inni or Rabbi anni massani ad-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. My Rabb, I have been afflicted with great distress, but you are the most merciful of the merciful. And inshallah, the hardship will be alleviated and will be substituted with a favorable condition. Rabbi inni massani ad-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. It means, my Rabb, I have been afflicted with great distress, but you are the most merciful of the merciful. And I know of many people who recited this dua, during the recent unrest in South Africa, and it gave them so much of peace internally. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all peace internally. It's something that we ask for in our salah, right? The dua after salam. Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam. Allahumma anta salam. We are affirming that Allah, you are as-salam. You are the source of peace. Wa minka salam. And from you is peace. And then we praise Allah. After saying Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. We praise Allah and His greatness by His beautiful names. So let's resort to this. Whenever we are experiencing anything that upsets or that subtracts or shifts or takes away from our peace, let us remember to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to affirm that you are the source and you are the owner of peace, and then praise Him by His mighty, glorious names, and ask for us to be able to experience as His servants, as the servants of As-Salam, to be able to experience that peace, inshallah. We're going to go for an ad break, and when we return on the other side of this, another inspirational account of someone and how this person, this Egyptian man's life changed around. We'll share that with you after the break. Stay with us.
This is Living the Legacy with Hafiza Rayana on Radio Islam International. Stay inspired.
A warm welcome to the second segment of the hour, and today we're now focusing on another beautiful narrative that teaches us more about the mercy of Allah and the beauty of Iman. This is a story entitled Two Words. It's written by Hafidha Maryam Amir Ibrahimi. She writes, he had never prayed two rak'ahs in his adult life. Born and raised in Egypt, he had continuously heard the adhan and the iqamah rolling through the streets, calling the believers to salah, but he had never voluntarily accepted the call. This included refusing to pray at the masjid on the first floor of the apartment building in which he lived. He passed by it day and night, on his way to work, on his way to spend hours at the local cafe with his friends, and on his way home to his wife and children, only to start the routine of neglecting his prayer again the following day. On one Friday, he was suddenly hit by a novel idea. Why don't I just try Friday prayer today? Just to see what it's like. I'll just try it, the man thought. He came in late to the masjid, and the khatib was already speaking. As the man was looking for a place to sit, he heard the words of the khatib. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, two words are light on the tongue, heavy in the balance, beloved to the merciful. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, Subhanallah al-Azim. Glory be to Allah, and by His praise, glory be to Allah, the immense. So the Khatib, the speaker, was quoting this hadith from Al-Bukhari. Now this man, preoccupied with having just entered and finding a place to sit, only heard a few of the Khatib's words. He sat, perplexed, turning the fragmented words over and over in his mind. Kalimatan, two words. Habibatan, both beloved. Ila Rahman, to the merciful. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, glory be to Allah and by His praise. Subhanallah al-Azim, glory be to Allah the immense. He had lost complete focus on the rest of the khutbah, overtaken by these words he heard in passing, working hard to make sense of what the words could possibly mean. After the salah, he approached the khatib directly. "Is all what you said in the khutbah today true?" he questioned. Surprised, the khatib replied, "I've said quite a bit in the khutbah today. To what specifically are you referring?" The man replied, "You said some words, kalimatan, habibatan, ila rahman, subhanallah wa bihamdih, subhanallah al-azim." The khatib smiled in recognition. "Yes, those are in fact from a blessed hadith, from the truthful himself. He told us, two words are light on the tongue and heavy in the balance, beloved to the merciful. Glory be to Allah and by His praise. Glory be to Allah, the immense." The man stood, overwhelmed, awestruck, in a daze. The words had penetrated through his heart and embraced his soul. Captivated, he continued to repeat the hadith over and over to himself. He walked out of the masjid in a trance and left for his home. Upon entering, he gathered his wife and children. "Have you heard," he began to tell them, "the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He has told us, two words are light on the tongue, heavy in the balance, beloved to the merciful. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, Subhanallah al-Azim." From that moment, the man transformed. From his home, he would leave to work. And from his work, he would go straight to the masjid. And from the masjid, he would immediately go back home to his wife and children. All the while, two words kept his lips moving and his tongue wet with remembrance. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, Subhanallah al-Azim. Soon, his friends from the cafe noticed his continuous absence. They came to his apartment one day. "Where have you been?" they asked. "We haven't seen you smoking hookah with us for a while." A beautiful, wistful look came over the man's face. "Haven't you heard?" he replied to his old crew from the cafe. "The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, two words are light on the tongue, heavy in the balance, and beloved to the merciful. Glory be to Allah and by His praise. Glory be to Allah the immense. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, Subhanallah al-Azim." And this is how this man spent his days, reminding his family, his friends, those in the masjid, and those who passed by in the streets about the beloved words of Allah. Those heavy words on the scale, those words light on the tongue. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, Subhanallah al-Azim. The man had gone from a person who never prayed, spent little time with family, and frequented the house of hookah instead of the house of Allah, to a person who longed for Allah, whose eyes were filled with tears, whose tongue and heart and soul burned with the inscription, Subhanallah wa bihamdih, Subhanallah al-Azim. Soon, he fell ill. It had only been a few months since he had started going to the masjid, that first time that he heard the beloved words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the Khatib in the Jumu'ah khutbah. He told his son to go and ask the masjid administration to call upon that very Khatib to come visit him in his illness. When he was informed, the Khatib remembered the man immediately and rushed to his apartment. Upon being let in, he saw the man sleeping in his bed and the doctor sitting at his side. The Khatib sat at the foot of the bed and waited for the man to awaken. Finally, the man stirred and he noticed at the foot of his bed the very Khatib who had related the beloved noble words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The man looked at the Khatib. He then asked him, "Have you heard? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, 'Two words are light on the tongue, heavy in the balance, beloved to the merciful. Glory be to Allah, and by His praise, glory be to Allah the immense. Subhanallah wa bihamdih, subhanallah al-azim.'" And with that, the man passed away. So the author of the story says that the Khatib in this story is her teacher's teacher. And her teacher related this incident to her and continued to stress that it was not a story from books of the past. It wasn't a story coined to tug hearts. It was the true story of a man who was completely disconnected from Allah, but to whom Allah gave a passing thought to enter the masjid, and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with hearing the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a time and in a way which truly impacted his soul and final actions in life. Her teacher then told her, "Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, 'Ballighu anni walau bi ayah,' convey from me, even if it's just one ayah." You see, we never know what words or actions that are done with a sincere intention will truly be a means of impacting another person's life to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us stop judging people. Let's stop driving people out of the masjid because we deem something about them as unsuitable. Let's stop assuming they'll never be guided to our righteous path. Perhaps those who we think are far from Allah will pass in a more honorable and a much more beloved state to the one who guides. Let us be the first to cling to the beloved words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdih. Subhanallah al-azim. And let us warmly, sincerely and smilefully be a means of helping ourselves and others come back to Allah with His power and mercy through relating the beautiful words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through action and speech. We never know what small, minuscule act may be a means of guidance for ourselves and another, and a means of possibly entering Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la bighayr hisab, the highest paradise, without any reckoning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this man's soul. Subhanallah, if he had died like any other person who knows about the obligation of prayer and lazily defies praying, we would never know his story. It'd just be another person who passed away in another country, a person we may have never even known existed. But perhaps because of his repentance and his sincere coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has blessed us with coming to know of him, so that his actions will continue to be rewarded even while he is in his grave. Every single time one of us, because of his story, even across the world, remember to say, Subhanallahi wa bihamdih, Subhanallahi al-azim. So, as part of living the legacy, my question to you today is, what will you do so sincerely that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless people with being transformed because of you, even after you have passed away? I'll ask that again. In light of living your legacy, what is it that you will do so sincerely that Allah will bless people with being transformed because of you, even after you've passed away? I invite you to give that some thought and to reflect upon that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help and guide us all to truly live and leave behind a legacy. And how beautiful if that legacy could be because of us turning to the Quran and the Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding, and may we be motivated by this powerful story to create change in our lives and to make dhikr a part of that legacy. Coming up after the break, we speak to our esteemed guest on today's program, and we will be speaking to Imam Salim, the Imam of Masjid Abu Bakr as-Siddiq in Erasmia. And our topic with Imam today is all about understanding compassion. All this coming up in the third segment of this hour. Stay with us. A warm welcome to the third segment of this hour, and it's time for us to welcome online our esteemed guest, who is today Imam Salim, the Imam of Masjid Abu Bakr Siddiq in Erasmia. Alhamdulillah, such an honor to have Imam joining us today with our topic, understanding compassion. Imam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program. Jazakumullah khair for joining us on the program today. Our first question is, if you could please explain to us the term rifq, please.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu la akmalani la atammani ala rukni al-azam. أفضل من تقدم ومن تأخر وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين. Verily all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most gracious, who is the most merciful. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon the noblest of creation, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent to this world as rahmatan lil alameen, mercy unto the entire universe. Let me begin by the greeting words of paradise, the greeting words of peace, the greeting words of solidarity, and allow me to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu. I would like to thank you for giving me this opportunity of having me in your program. Inshallah, today we are going to look at the word rifq, a word that in English it is generally translated as compassion, lenience, kindness, forbearance, and at larger scale it is referred to or translated to as gentleness. When we are to look at this quality, it is such a quality that if one has this quality, it speaks a language which the deaf can hear. Even the blind can see. It is such a quality that even amongst the divine qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see that Allah possesses this very name, Ar-Rafiq, the All Kind. It is such a quality that the scholars have told us that if one wants to understand rifq, it is the opposite of anger. It is the opposite of harshness. It is the opposite of rudeness and aggression. It is such a quality that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the mother of believers, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he said that, O Aisha, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gentle, and he loves gentleness. He gives due to gentleness, and he doesn't give due to harshness. It is such a quality that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Whenever gentleness or rifq is added to anything, it adorns it, it beautifies it. And whenever it is withdrawn from anything, then that thing is defective. It is such a quality that he told us that if anyone is deprived of this quality, then that person is deprived of all goodness. If Allah intends goodness upon anyone or any family, He blesses this quality of rifq in that family. It is this quality that whenever you are to look in the teachings or the lifestyle of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a quality that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed. It is the quality that he lived with. That is why even when the mother of believers was asked in regards to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst his characteristics, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in regards to the standards by which man can be measured, we can as well ask that who can be like him? Why? Because he possessed this quality. Kana khulquhu al-Qur'an. He was the embodiment of the Holy Quran. So, this quality of rifq, it is such a quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. It is such a quality that a true believer should possess. It is such a quality that when one lives with this quality, that compassion, that lenience in him, that kindness in him, that forbearance and that gentleness in him, you will see that automatically you are imitating that very lifestyle, the life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill this quality of rifq in our lives.
Alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khair. Our second question is, what does the Quran Kareem teach us about living with compassion, living with gentleness, kindness, and softness towards others? Please, if Imam could elaborate on this.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. What does the Holy Quran teach us about living with compassion, with gentleness, with softness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this respect, he makes mention in Surah Al-Imran, verse 159. He says that, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, that indeed it was the mere mercy, that very mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Allah, that, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them. You showed that quality of leniency, that quality of gentleness, that quality of kindness and compassion to those that were around you. And if you had been rude in speech and harsh in your heart, they would have disbanded from you. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived such a life. And this is the life that we need to imitate. He lived such a life that those people would come in front of him, they would go on to tell us that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make everyone who comes in front of him feel special. He was such a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even some companions told us that in narrations, in hadith, that he was the most hated person to me. But when I came to him, he became the most beloved person to me. This is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just because of this quality, just because of this quality of lenience, that quality of gentleness, the Sahabas used to say that he was more beloved to us. He was more beloved to us than our own lives. That's how much love they had for the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sends Musa, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, to Fir'aun. Fir'aun who claimed that Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, that I am your Lord. But when he sends him to Hazrat, when he sends Hazrat Musa to Fir'aun, he says to him, and this is something that we need to ponder over, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, that, O Musa, when you get to Fir'aun, speak to him with lenience, speak to him softly, speak to him with gentleness. Scholars have said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can tell Hazrat Musa alayhi salam to go and speak to that person who claimed that he is a Lord with lenience, with gentleness, if this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with such a disbeliever, how do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with those who believe? At the very same injunction, we need to also take a lesson that if this is how Allah would address a disbeliever, how do we address, how do we speak to those people that are around us? You know, scholars have said that if you can speak to everyone as if it is your last day on earth, you will find that there is compassion, there is mercy, there is kindness in your words. Even if you are to speak to your family in such a manner that you feel like today is my last day on earth, then automatically you will see yourself having this quality of gentleness in you. You will see yourself having this quality of lenience in you. It is these good qualities that we need to inculcate in our lives. If you are to look at the whole Quran on itself, the language that it is speaking, it is this language of rifq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even warns the believers that فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, woe to those people who pray. Woe to those people who pray. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ, those who when they pray, their mind is in a state of forgetfulness. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ, those who show off their actions. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاءُونَ, but regardless of all that, they withhold small acts of kindness, small acts of generosity, small acts of gentleness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us. So we need to be amongst those that when we are to live our lives, we should live such a life that if we are not there, if we are not there, people will miss these qualities, such qualities as rifq, such qualities as hilm, such qualities that make us, and such qualities that defines Islam.
Shukran for that, shukran. Imam, from the lives of the Anbiya alayhim salam, and we learn so much from their lives, and everything that they've been through. What are some examples of living with rifq?
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Looking at the examples of kindness, gentleness, and the life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah says that وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that, O my Nabi, I did not send you except as mercy to the entire universe. Hazrat Anas bin Malik narrates a hadith, and he says that لَقَدْ خَذَمْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ عَشَرَ سِنِينَ, that indeed I gave service, I provided services to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطٌ, in these 10 years when I was working and I was serving the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say any word of oof to me, an expression that shows that you are not happy, an expression
that shows that a person is actually angry with you. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never said uff to Hazrat Anas bin Malik. He says that even if I would do anything, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never used to reprimand me. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never used to say that. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? It is this very same Anas bin Malik that, look, he says that one day I was worried. There was this expression of worry on my face. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, oh my Anas, what is it that I see that you are worried? Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told by Hazrat Anas bin Malik that, verily, O Nabi of Allah, my brother, he's got a small little bird, a sparrow, but that sparrow has died. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, so what is wrong? He says, my brother is at home and he is worried. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being the Nabi of Allah, being the Nabi of Allah, he leaves everything that he was doing. He goes to the house of Hazrat Anas bin Malik and he sees the brother of Hazrat Anas bin Malik, young boy, worried. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave company to this young boy. Ya Aba Umair ma fa'ala Nughair, the hadith tells us. He gives company to this young man until such a time that this young man found comfort, he found happiness in him, in himself. That the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he saw that the young man is happy, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam left. Being the Nabi of Allah, he had time to listen to everyone's grievances. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was such that even when we read about the Bedouin, that villager who came in Masjid al-Nabawi, and this person, he urinated in the masjid, that even some amongst the companions, they were really angry with him. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the companions that, oh my companions, just leave him. He instructed that a bucket of water should just be put there. But the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed us all these qualities. Such a Nabi of Allah, there was this lady that used to just put thorns on the way of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When she would put these thorns on the way of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some days passed by. The Nabi of Allah did not see her. He inquired about her. When he heard that she is not feeling well, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam visited her. He visited her. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam visited her, she thought to herself, is this man going to finish me? But the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on to offer his services. This very quality of kindness, gentleness that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam possessed is such an amazing quality. One Sahabi narrates that once I went to the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he was reading his salah. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was reading salah, he said that I sneezed. And one person in the crowd sneezed. And there was this, Alhamdulillah, Yarhamukallah. And there was commotion. He said, when the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finished the namaz, and he inquired as to who had done it, he said, I felt so bad. He said that I didn't even know what to do. Since the person was not well acquainted to the masa'ils, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called this man. When this very person thought he was going to be reprimanded, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he narrates, and in the hadith he says that, I've never seen a teacher like him, neither would there be any other teacher like him. He said the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam only told me that, verily, when we are in prayer, We mustn't have kalam of nas. We mustn't speak. That is all the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. And these are the qualities that we as Muslims will need to inculcate in our lives. These are the qualities that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us that we need to inculcate in our lives.
And finally, Imam, we would like to ask you to share your general nasiha for our listeners today. What would your nasiha, your counsel or advice be to our listeners today? And we wish to thank you for your time in joining us today. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Bismillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most gracious, the most merciful. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thank you for having me and allow me to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhum. As for today's nasiha, today's advice, we look at the life of one of the Salafi Salihin, Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham. He was asked that, O Ibrahim bin Adham, how did you attain this very quality whereby you have renounced the world? Hazrat Abdul Ibrahim bin Adham says that it is because of three things. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill such qualities and thinking like that our pious predecessors used to have. He said it is because of three things. The first thing he says is that Ra'aytu al-qabra, he says that I came to realize that verily the grave is a lonely place. Verily the grave is a lonely place. And if I am going to enter inside there, I will be so lonely and I don't have any companion. What is the companion of a believer in the grave? It is all these good deeds. It is all these good deeds. And he goes on to say that وَرَأَيْتُ طَرِيقًا طَوِيلًا وَلَيْسَ مَعِي زَادٍ. He said that I saw that the journey is long and I don't have any provision. So I resorted to doing good deeds, which will be a means for my salvation today. وَرَأَيْتُ جَبَّارًا قَاضِيًا. And I came to realize that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be our judge. He will be our judge on the day of judgment. And I won't have proof that I pleased him. I never lived such a life that was filled with good deeds. So I resorted to doing good deeds. You know, one of our pious predecessors used to say that verily the best of actions that one should resort to is verily those actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from you. And the best of months, it should be that very month whereby you are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istighfar, making tawbah in the court of Allah Rabbul Izzah. And the best of days is that very day you leave this dunya with a heart that is filled with iman. Because the greatest success of a believer is that he should meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be pleased with him. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be amongst those who ponder over their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill these qualities and this type of fikr, this type of thinking in our hearts. Wallahu yaqulu al-haq wa huwa yahdi as-sabil. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And with that, we would like to thank Imam Salim for joining us on today's program in the topic Understanding Compassion as Part of Our Legacy that we hope to live and leave behind one day. That brings us to the close of this week's edition of Living the Legacy, and we look forward to joining you next week as we continue this journey together. Until then, keep us all in your du'as, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.